healed and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brother, dear sister, salam. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to, in which we're going to speak about the Holy Quran in life. من الآيات والتفسير ويسقي العقل والتفكير يواكب واقع التغيير يشيد بالوئام صروح يشيد بالوئام صروح يشيد بالوئام صروح صدره يطوف بين الروح سناه على الحياة يلوح مع القرآن حين أعيش عبير الوجد من And today is Tuesday, 9th of Shawwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Farvardin, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of April, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. By the way, as always, and as the ritual of this program, we open Allah's book first from chapter Fussilat, verses 41 to 42. We want to learn more.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. إن الذين كفروا بالذكر لما جاءهم وإنه لكتاب عزيز.
Indeed, those who disbelieve in the message after it has come to them, and indeed it is a mighty book.
لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد.
Falsehood cannot approach it from before it or from behind it. It is a revelation from a Lord who is wise and praiseworthy.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Holy Quran reminds man of his neglect and negligence. The title Aziz means the honorable is exclusively employed to refer to Holy Quran from amongst scriptures. The blessed verses are addressed to all polytheists and disbelievers who regard the Holy Quran as encompassing magic and falsehood, and also those who do not believe in some of the Quranic injunctions, for example, usury, murder, adultery, and calumnious accusation and slander, as well as divine commands as to one-fifth tax and pilgrimage to Mecca and act against them. It also addresses those who subjectively interpret Quranic verses like those regarding the guardianship, infallibility, and purity of Ahlul Bayt, Prophet's family. Peace be upon them all.
إن القرآن لنور يتفجر في جنباتي يرفعني عند مليك الخلق لأعلى الدرجات.
إن القرآن لنور
يتفجر في جنباتي يرفعني عند مليك الخلق لأعلى الدرجات.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي، قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
So during the new series of today's special, during this week, we focus our lenses on Quran and our daily life. The Quran advocates for worship of the Almighty, peaceful coexistence, and a balanced, healthy lifestyle steering clear of hedonistic pursuits. These divine values foster humility, reverence, freedom, responsibility, and empowerment, encouraging individuals to transform their lives positively. Moreover, the Quran presents the Prophet Muhammad as the quintessential role model, embodying goodness, righteousness, and divine love. His life exemplifies the teachings of the Quran, inspiring believers to emulate his example.
Sayyid Muhammad Ridwi.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was not only talking, he wanted this to, he was dictating it. He wanted somebody to write it down. He says, Wallah, Wallah, I remind you of Allah, I remind you of Allah, fil Quran. Let me connect it to Hadith Saqalain, one of the last advice that the Prophet gave. And he uttered these words not once, many, many places, many, many times. Where he says, "Inni tarikum fikum saqalain," that I am leaving two precious things among you. One is the Book of Allah, and the other is the Ahlul Bayt. And the emphasis that we see, for example, in Sahih Tirmidhi, the version of this hadith says that as long as you hold on fast to both of them, lan tadillu ba'di, you will not go astray after me. And so this issue of holding on the Quran and holding on to the Ahlul Bayt, what does it mean? It's not like, you know, I'm holding the Quran here. No. Basically, we are talking about living by the Quran. That is what it means as a guide for ourselves. Holding onto the Ahlul Bayt means what? You know, it is basically implementing their teachings in our life, their series, their seerat and their example. And this is something actually in Sahih Muslim, the same hadith Saqalain has come, where the Prophet, you know, very similar words that Amir al-Mu'minin uses it in this wasiyyat. He says, I remind you, I udhakkirukum, udhakkirukum, double times. I remind you, and then he says the whole sentence three times. I remind you of the Ahlul Bayt, how you deal with them. I will ask you what you did with my Ahlul Bayt.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
This is today's special and Quranic lesson. Quran brings happiness in this world and the hereafter. How? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, if you desire the life of the fortunate, the death of a martyr, the salvation on the day of regret, and the shade on the day of extreme heat, then you should read the Quran because it is the word of the merciful and sanctuary from shaitan, and it causes the titling of the balance. In another hadith, we read that the Prophet has said, the reciter of the Quran will be spared from the calamities of the hereafter. Our supplications get answered if we were to pray after reading the Quran. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, said, one who starts the Quran and finishes it, Allah will grant him one answered supplication. It also helps in strengthening our faith. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, reciting the Quran plants the seed of faith. We spoke about recitation. One of the tips to improve our understanding of the Holy Quran is listening to Holy Quran, the recitation of the Holy Quran. Just listening them. Some people learn more effectively by listening than by reading. There are currently several audio cassettes and CDs of the Quran, many of which include translations. This is ideal for listening to on your device or in your car, CD player, or radio while you commute to and from work. Use this in addition to, not instead of your regular Quran reading. You'll gain lots of good deeds from Allah by listening carefully to Quran recitation. We finish this episode by listening to this verse from chapter Al-A'raf. Allah the Almighty says, and when the Quran is recited, listen to it attentively and keep silent so that you receive mercy.
Today we want to look at a tradition, a hadith from the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, in which he gives us a beautiful similitude of the Quran in our hearts. And he gives us an antidote to clear and to purify and to remove any of the impurities which may have built upon our hearts over the last 11 months. And the Prophet says the following in this tradition. These hearts, just like iron, become rusted. And the way to remove this rust The way to clean the rust from the hearts is through the recitation of the Quran. I'm sure all of us have seen rust build up on metal tools, for example, that we might use in our garden, or for example, in our cars, or in many different things that have stayed outside, and the elements, you know, the water gets to it, the air, all of these chemicals get to these, you know, products and items that we might use in our gardens or around the house on a day-to-day basis, and they develop a covering over top of them, whether it be rust or air or something else. And obviously, when we have that rust build up, we tend to want to clean it, to polish it. If it's some, you know, tarnish on a utensil, we want to polish it to make it look nice. If it's something that we're using, let's say, in the garden, we might want to remove the rust from that to allow that tool to last longer, you know, so it doesn't rot away, whatever the case may be. And so the noble messenger in this tradition shows us that just like these things develop a coating that we want to remove, similar do our hearts develop this coating, this rust, this impurity upon it. Many times we don't have really an opportunity to connect to Allah fully with a full focus and devotion to Him. We all lead obviously busy lives, and sometimes things just don't work out for us. And so we sometimes shirk in our responsibilities and our commitment to the faith. But definitely each and every single believer make an extra point to recite the Quran, to engage in extra worship. And as the messenger says, that the way to clean this rust from our heart, the way to polish our heart and remove any spiritual impurities which may have developed within it, is to engage in the recitation of the noble Quran. And so with such a reward promised to us, not only this numerical reward, but also a benefit of removing the rust from our hearts.
That was today's special from IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. في أمان الله.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is He who has sent His apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that He may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد. اینها چیزای لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this episode. Today we reflect on a profound saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam. قدر الرجل على قدر همته وصدقه على قدر مروءته. So the value of a man is according to his ambition, and his truthfulness is according to his chivalry. So this statement beautifully highlights two key qualities that define a person's worth: ambition and integrity. Let's delve into these qualities and understand how they shape us. Ambition drives us to reach our goals, improve ourselves, and make a meaningful impact. A man with high aspirations doesn't settle for mediocrity. He strives for excellence, always seeking to elevate himself and his community. An example would be a student who aspires to excel in their studies despite challenges. It shows determination and the value of ambition. Truthfulness is the foundation of trust and respect. A man who is truthful earns the admiration of others, and this quality is closely linked to integrity and honor. A truthful person doesn't bend their values for convenience, but remains firm even when faced with difficulty. An example would be someone who admits their mistakes openly and works to correct them, and it demonstrates real character and the importance of honesty. And chivalry here refers to moral strength, dignity, and honor. It's about standing up for what is right, protecting others, and being a person of your word. True chivalry, or if you would like call it manliness or womanliness, whatever, is not just physical strength, but the courage to act justly and honorably in all situations. A man who defends the weak, speaks the truth even when unpopular, and stands firm in his beliefs reflects true chivalry. So set high goals for yourself. Don't settle for less. Always stay true to your word, no matter the circumstances. Live with integrity and courage, knowing that your actions define your worth, and help and support others, and uphold justice in all your interactions. Imam Ali alayhi salam teaches us that our value is not determined by external factors, but by our inner qualities, our ambition and truthfulness. or chivalry or manliness. It's work on strengthening these traits in ourselves every day. Thank you for listening. Until next time, aim high, stay truthful, and live with honor. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So, please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash. This Egyptian reciter was born in 1938 in a village of the city Tanta in Al-Gharbiya Governorate. When he was a teenager, he memorized the Noble Quran. Then he finished his recitation course under the care of Sheikh Ibrahim Salam. When he was 16, he took part in Quranic gatherings as a reciter. And at the age of 24, he officially joined Egyptian radio and television. You know, he might be the youngest Egyptian radio reciter. For a long time, he followed Sheikh Mustafa Ismail's style of recitation. But after a while, he invented his own new style. He traveled to many countries, including France, US, England, and Canada. And in one of his trips, some Christian audience, having heard his recitation, converted to Islam. In 1990, he traveled to Iran and recited the Quran in the presence of Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and was appreciated by him. This prominent master of Quran recitation passed away in 2016 at the age of 78. May Allah bless him. Now let's listen to the recitation of verses 7 to 9 of Suratul Qasas, recited by Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful.
And we inspired the mother of Moses, saying,
suckle him. But when you fear for him, then cast him into the river, and fear not, nor grieve. Verily we shall bring him back to you, and shall make him one of the messengers. Then the household of Pharaoh picked him up, that he might become for them an enemy and a cause of grief. Verily Pharaoh, Haman, and their hosts were sinners. And the wife of Pharaoh said, A comfort of the eye for me and for you. Do not kill him. Perhaps he may be of benefit to us, or we may adopt him as a son. And they did not perceive.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأوحينا
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Qasas, verses 9 to 11, recited by Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash is reciting in the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, almost. It's very similar to the way Sheikh Mustafa Ismail recites. We've said this before many times, that once Sheikh Mustafa Ismail was listening to the radio, and apparently he thought that he is reciting the Quran. But he was like, I don't remember where and when I recited and actually performed this recitation. And he was like, and then he found out that this was actually Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash who was reciting the Quran. That's how exact Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash would
imitate
and follow the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. Later on, of course, he developed his own style of recitation. And Sheikh, let's go and talk about the Tajweed now.
Good idea.
Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash is doing Fawq Tawassut of Maddul Munfasil. He's reading the Maddul Munfasil with Fawq Tawassut.
With five vowel counts.
Right. And he says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ. And see, these are all Maddul Munfasils.
Disjunct, man.
The disjunct, where the long vowel and the cause, which is the hamza, they're in two different words. أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ. إِلَىٰ أُمِّ. See, these are two words.
Yeah.
مُوسَىٰ أَن. Again, two different words. So how many mads do we have just in this phrase?
Three. Three Maddul Munfasil.
أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ. We have three Maddul Munfasils. The Laud has to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim because Laud here has a kasra.
The fifth level.
And Arul-Dari. Fa'idha khifti. Again, the Kha should be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. Khifti. We shouldn't say khifti. Khifti is incorrect because the point is with tafkhim, whenever the letter of isti'la has a kasra or ya'ul mad, is that you have to preserve the sound of the kasra or ya'ul mad. Arul-Dari. Khifti. If you say khifti, you're changing the way that the kasra is pronounced.
And the way to apply it is actually the way lips are dropped.
Yes, that's right. The way that you would pronounce the kasra. How would the shape of the lips be when you pronounce kasra? It should be the same. Of course, the sound is not going to be entirely the same as a letter of istifal, for example, with kasra or ya'ul mad, because we have
the root of the tongue is raised.
Is raised, yes. The sound is going to be different.
The lips, the shape of the lips help us.
Yes. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ. Again, خِفْتِ and أَلْقِيهِ. Another قَاف, another letter of isti'la, which is قَاف.
Again, with كَسْرَة.
With كَسْرَة.
The lowest level of تَفْخِيم.
Yes. فِي الْيَمِّ. The meme has تَشْدِيد. Therefore, we have to apply nasalization. We have to hold the sound of meme for two vowel counts.
Yes.
فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي وَلَا تَخَافِي. Now we have the highest level of tafkhim here. If you say تَخَافِي,
that's not tafkhim.
Yeah. You're not reading this letter with enough tafkhim. It needs more tafkhim. تَخَافِي. The root of the tongue is raised and the mouth opens
vertically.
Vertically. And the jaws actually open vertically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because, of course, jaws only open vertically because there's no other way for jaws to
open.
وَلَا تَخَافِ وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ. We have مَتُّ الْلَازِم here. مَتُّ الْلَازِم takes place whenever there is a تَشْدِيد or سُكُون after a long vowel.
Mm-hmm.
And tashdid itself has a sukun in it.
Yes.
Because we have a sakin letter of the same letter followed by the same letter with a haraka. So that is why we could just say that the cause of matul lazim is sukun. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it is lengthened to six vowel counts.
Just now, Sheikh Rab Mustafa Ghalwash, he makes a small mistake. Actually, in verse 9, when he reaches the Matul Munfasil, Asa'an, he does not lengthen it to five vowel counts. He lengthens it to four. Okay. It was a lot shorter than the first Matul Munfasils that he read. And the last Matul Munfasil, it was five vowel counts.
So the consistency is not observed.
Yeah, it was just for that single Matul Munfasil. The other ones, they were all five vowel counts.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran.
If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق فيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The ocean of dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you in this edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition, we will inshallah talk about the dua, the reality of supplication, its categories, and we will describe some of its effects, so stay with us. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters, as you have been with us during all these programs, we have been talking about manners of supplication, the true nature of supplication, and its constituents. So the second constituent which we were talking about and was being discussed was the supplicant, who is supposed to have special characteristics and special manners. So the last thing or characteristic which was being discussed was to have good manners in supplication. In this matter, in this concern, we try to refer to some of the traditions, some of the narrations, and some of the stories about our imams, infallible imams. In one narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said concerning this matter in question, the manners of supplication, احفظ آداب الدعاء وانظر من تدعو وكيف تدعو ولماذا تدعو. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, keep to the morals of supplication and see whom you invoke. وانظر من تدعو. Who are you calling for? This is what he questions. وَكَيْفَ تَدْعُو. How you invoke him, how you call for him. وَلِمَاذَا تَدْعُو. And why you invoke. What is the reason beyond your invoking? وَحَقِّقْ عَظَمَةَ اللَّهِ وَكِبْرِيَاءَهُ. But whatever you do, preserve the greatness and highness of Allah and see with your heart that He knows what there is in your conscience. And He knows your secrets, whether good or bad, whether you want it or not. Allah has said, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. And man prays for evil as he ought to pray for good, and man is ever hasty. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عجولة.
الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الأصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى.
Then our infallible Imam alayhi salam continues and he says, you have to think too much about what you ask for and how much you ask of it and why. Supplication means that you are submitting to the truth. You have devoted yourself to see the Lord, leaving your choice and entrusting all the affairs, whether apparent or hidden, with Allah. So if you do not regard the conditions of supplication, or in other terms, as in our question and as in our discussion, if you do not have those manners in supplication, then do not wait for the response. فَإِن لَمْ تَأْتِ بِشَرْطِ الدُّعَاءِ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْإِجَابَةِ. If you have not brought with you whatever is needed for a supplication to be responded, then you shouldn't wait for the response. Because Allah knows the secrets and what is more hidden, so that you may ask Him for something, but He knows that there is something else in your heart. فَلَعَلَّكَ تَدْعُوهُ بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ عَلِمَ مِنْ سِرِّكَ خِلَافَ ذَلِكَ. Sometimes you ask for something. You ask Allah for something to be given to you, but Allah knows that there is something else inside your heart, because He's the one who has all the powers and He's all-knowing, the creator of all.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will, God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too, it's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
So you see, dear listeners, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has mentioned many different conditions for a supplication to be responded. So it has different conditions. The first one that our infallible Imam mentions is that a supplicant should regard the grandeur of God. He should preserve the greatness of Allah. The second one is that the supplicant should be aware that God has the infinite power and He knows everything. And of course, the next one is that a supplicant should have it in his mind or her mind that God knows how to respond to one's needs, because He is the actual one who has created all the human beings and their needs. And of course, it is really noteworthy and important that a supplicant should be aware that God knows what there is in your mind and knows your secrets, whether good or bad. And the vital point in all this is that a supplicant should distinguish between the right and the wrong, so that may not ask for something destructive. Allah has said, "And man prays for evil as he ought to pray for good, and man is ever hasty." وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. So, all in all, a supplicant should sacrifice everything to gain Allah's favors. He should love God sincerely, deep down within, and he should submit to God in managing his affairs, do away with his own wishes, and be obedient to God and follow his commands. This is because the result of all supplications is determined by the only one, which is God. So anybody who reaches this stage of prosperity will be, inshallah, successful in his life and in hereafter. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brother and sister, salam. So, welcome to a new story. Yes, this is another episode of Lantern, and we have a new story entitled More Generous Than Hatem. Hatem Tai was questioned, "Have you come across anyone more generous than yourself?" He replied, "Yes, I have." He was asked where. He said, "I had been traveling in the desert when I came across a tent. Inside it was an old lady, while behind the tent a goat lay tied. When the old lady saw me, she approached me and held the reins of my horse so that I could dismount. A little later, her son arrived and was immensely pleased to have me as their guest. The old lady said to him, 'Commence the preparations for to entertain our guest. Go and slaughter the goat and prepare some food.' The son said, 'First I shall go and collect some firewood.' But the old lady said, 'Going to the desert and bringing the firewood shall consume a lot of time, due to which our guest would have to remain hungry for long, and this would be contrary to social etiquette.' So the son, breaking the only two lenses that he possessed, slaughtered the goat, prepared the food, and presented it before me. When I investigated about their condition, I realized that the goat had been their only possession, and despite this, they had slaughtered it for me. I said to the old lady, do you recognize me? When she replied in the negative, I said, I am Hatam Tai. You must come with me to my tribe so that I can entertain you and shower you with gifts and presents. The old lady said, neither do we seek any reward from our guests, nor do we sell break for money. And she refused to accept anything from me. Witnessing this generosity, I realized that there were far more generous and munificent than me. Now we'll listen to the explanation of Sister Musavi. She speaks about important points of this story.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and what we do in this program is to listen to certain religious stories and then try to talk about the themes and lessons that we can take out of these stories in our daily lives as Muslim. Well, the story we just listened to is about generosity and its most famous practitioner was Hatam al-Ta'i. Generosity, you know, holds a paramount place in Islamic ethics, serving as a manifestation of faith and vital expression of compassion. This principle is beautifully illustrated in the life of figures like Hatam al-Ta'i, who is often celebrated in both Islamic and Arabic literature for his unparalleled generosity. Hatam al-Ta'i's life mirrors this principle, as his generosity was not limited to personal relationships, but extended to the broader social fabric of his time. Moreover, the Holy Book of Quran encourages believers to give in a variety of circumstances. In Surah Al-Insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. And they give food in spite of love for it to the needy, the orphan and the captive, saying, we feed you only for the face of Allah. We wish not from you reward or gratitude. Surah Al-Insan, verses number 8 and 9. So this selfless giving, done without expectation of reward, is a hallmark of true generosity. Hatam al-Ta'i lived this principle fully, often sacrificing his own comforts for the sake of others. His legacy serves as a reminder of the transformative power of generosity, not just for the recipient, but for the giver as well. Let's go for a short break and we will be back in no time.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Okay, well, generosity also emphasizes the importance of intention, or what we call in our Islamic terms, niyyah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, actions are judged by intentions and every person will get the reward according to their intention. This principle is crucial in understanding that the act of giving is not purely about the material aspect. It is deeply rooted in one's spiritual intentions. Hatam al-Ta'i, with his unwavering dedication to helping others, exemplified this ideal. His actions were not motivated by the desire for fame or recognition, but stemmed from a sincere